Hello and welcome back to the Living Life Podcast. Here we study God's Word for a life that's deeply rooted in love and prepared to impact our world for Christ. I'm Samantha Shambo and I'm so thankful that you are here today. We are continuing our conversation on discernment for 2026. Last week we talked about discerning how to love hurting people from 1 John chapter 3. Today we move on to 1 John chapter 4. Here John teaches us about the discernment of spirits. Please remember to read 1 John chapter 4 when you have time. You can also download the Bible study work pages on my website at samantashambo.com. I want to ask you to join our Living Life family by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and wherever you find your podcast. So our topic for today is discernment of spirits from 1 John 4. The topic is vital as John warns us there are many false prophets in the world and we need spiritual discernment to tell the difference between truth and lies. This kind of discernment helps us to love others well and to represent Christ faithfully. I recently had an interesting and confusing experience. I met someone for the first time and my spirit just felt overwhelmed and disturbed. He didn't do anything outwardly upsetting, but I couldn't shake off the discomfort. I told myself I was being paranoid and just tried to move on. But then I read Watchman Nee's book on spiritual discernment, and it helped me to put words to what I had felt. It explained that when your spirit is tended towards God, you may sometimes sense when something isn't right with another person, even if you can't explain it. Their inner unrest or brokenness can affect you. I didn't spend enough time with this person to know what was happening to him, but the experience did lead me to pray for him. I want to be clear from the beginning. This episode is not about turning us into spiritual detectives or demon hunters. Discernment is not about suspicion. It's about pursuing truth so that we can become authentic followers of Christ. Because when we believe distorted ideas about who Jesus is, we inevitably reflect those distortions and we misrepresent Christ in the world. According to Mary and May Thompson, discernment is a theme that runs throughout 1 John, even though it is directly addressed only one time in 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 to 6. Discernment is the ability to distinguish between truth and error, whether that truth is manifested in doctrine or in practice. While the gift of discernment comes from the Holy Spirit, it is not confined to the individual or the inner experience. Discernment is the task of the community. Learning to recognize the truth from the lies is at the heart of what John is addressing in this letter. John was responding to a very specific crisis in the early church. Some teachers were promoting what we might call a kind of super spirituality. They claimed special insight, deep knowledge, and heightened spiritual experiences. But at the same time, they denied that Jesus Christ truly came in the flesh. So John calls us to test the spirits. What does test mean in this context? It means to continually examine and carefully evaluate something to determine whether it's genuine. Like when we examine a money bowl or precious metal to verify its authenticity. And the spirit here refers to the spiritual influence behind the people we listen to, as well as the spirit that shapes what they say. Ultimately, John tells us that there are two spirits at work in the world, the spirit of God, who is the spirit of truth, and the spirit of the world, which spreads lies and seeks to deceive believers. John uses the word antichrist often, and I want to pause here to clarify what he means. In this context, John is not referring to a single demonic figure who will appear at the end of time. He's actually talking about people who oppose Christ by distorting the truth about who Jesus is. He calls them false prophets, language that echoes the Old Testament warnings that messengers will arise claiming to speak for God while leading people astray. Jesus himself warned about false prophets in the Sermon on the Mount. describing them as hostile to the true gospel and intent on deception. What's striking in 1 John chapter 4 is how often John speaks in contrast. He talks about the Spirit of God versus the spirit of the world, truth versus lies, love versus fear, Christ versus culture. John uses contrast intentionally to help the church recognize what is truly shaping them. He reminds us that spiritual discernment goes deeper than simply evaluating ideas or opinion. Testing the spirits means becoming sensitive to what comes from the Holy Spirit and what reflects the spirit of the world. We live in a time of sharp divisions and growing polarization, where many voices compete for our attention and for our allegiances. John teaches us that faithful discipleship is not about choosing sides in cultural battles, but about remaining anchored in Christ. So what is the criteria for testing the spirits? John gives us very clear guidelines. First, we must ask ourselves, does the message that I'm hearing affirm the revelation in Jesus Christ? This includes his divinity and his humanity. John says in verse 2, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. For John, faith is never abstract or detached from real life. It is anchored in public embodied history, what was heard, seen, and touched. In other words, Christianity is built on the real Jesus who walked amongst us. John is teaching us that if a message separates Christ from his humanity, something is wrong. Because if Jesus did not truly come in the flesh, then his suffering becomes symbolic. His death is just theoretical, and his blood doesn't really cleanse us. And salvation starts to feel distant instead of deeply personal. But John reminds us that our faith is grounded in a Savior who entered into our broken world. Jesus bled, Jesus suffered, Jesus loved in tangible ways. And that matters because it's the foundation of our forgiveness and healing and our assurance in God. Jesus' life in the flesh is our example of a person that pleases God. This is also why John connects right belief with right living. It shows us that true confession always leads to real love. Love is not just a spiritual feeling or higher knowledge. It's modeled in Jesus' costly life. By this we know love, John says, that he has laid down his life for us. When Christ's humanity is denied, love can easily become just words. But when we hold on to the real Jesus, love becomes something we practice every day through obedience, sacrifice, and care for one another. When we focus only on the divinity of Jesus and ignore his humanity, our faith can easily drift into the kind of religion that emphasizes rules over relationships and obedience to laws at the expense of love and compassion. It becomes about getting things right rather than living rightly. But when we truly acknowledge that Jesus came in the flesh, everything changes. Because then we are forced to take his actions seriously. Jesus doesn't just reveal God to us through teaching. He reveals God through the way he lived. He touched the untouchable. He welcomed the outsider. He spoke with truth and grace. He showed compassion to the broken and challenged systems that crushed people. He is God's representation in this world. The incarnation of Jesus helps us to discern between ideas of what is right and to evaluate the real-life implications of the message that we preach. It teaches us how to apply God's commands to real ethical questions that we have to face every day. How should we obey the laws? How should we treat people? How do we speak? How do we forgive? And how do we pursue justice? How do we love when it costs us something? Number two, does the message that I'm hearing align with God's love? John returns to this theme again and again, reminding us that God is love. This repetition is intentional. It is like John is underlining and highlighting what matters most. He wants the church to understand that lived out love is not optional. It is central to spiritual discernment. Love becomes one of our most important filters when we try to separate the truth from the lie. John tells us that everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Then he says something even stronger. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. John is teaching us that authentic spirituality will always move us towards compassion, humility, forgiveness, and care for others. So here's a practical question for us. When I listen to a message or follow a teacher or engage with certain voices, what's happening inside of me? Does my heart soften or does it harden? Do I become more patient and gracious or more critical and angry? And here's another important question. Do I find myself becoming desensitized to the suffering of others? Because these questions matter. When the Spirit of God is at work, we grow in tenderness. We become more aware of pain, not less. We don't scroll past suffering. We don't dismiss brokenness. God's Spirit draws us towards empathy and action. But the spirit of the world often numbs us. It trains us to justify harshness, to normalize division, and to overlook the wounds of the people around us. Calloused or hard-hearted responses can be important signals. They may indicate that the spirit shaping the message is not from God, because the spirit of God produces love. Even when truth is difficult, God's spirit leads with gentleness. And discernment isn't only about evaluating what we hear. It's about paying attention of who we are becoming. Are we growing more like Christ, more selfless, and more willing to listen? Or are we becoming defensive, closed off, and emotionally distanced from others? John reminds us that God showed his love by sending his Son into the world that we might live through him. Love is not theoretical, it is sacrificial. It moves towards people and enters into brokenness. Love lays down its life. So as you practice discernment in this season, don't ask, is this message true only? Also ask, is this message forming me in love? Because whenever the Spirit of God is at work, love will always be present. Number three, does the message I'm hearing produce fear and condemnation? John tells us in 1 John 3, verse 4 to 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Many false prophets use fear and condemnation to gain influence. They tap into our personal anxieties and the fears that is already present in society. They overwhelm us emotionally so that we don't know how to think clearly. And when we are afraid, we become easier to control. Loving love, family, here is something practical. When a message triggers a strong fear response in you, that might be an important signal. It doesn't automatically mean that the message is false, but it does mean you need to slow down and test the spirit behind it. Now, scripture does speak about the fear of the Lord, but that's something different. The fear of the Lord happens when we encounter God's holiness. It brings humility, repentance, and surrender. Sometimes we fall on our knees because we realize that we need God's grace. Other times we are so overwhelmed by God's presence and his love that we just want to worship. But the spirit of the world works differently. Some messages amplify our existing fears and insecurity. They stir anger, suspicion, and defensiveness. They push us towards harsh judgments and loveless behavior. Instead of drawing us closer to God and to one another, they isolate us and harden our hearts. This is exactly what was happening in the early church. The community was fractured. Some had left and then returned with pressure and persuasion, trying to convince those who remained to follow this new version of the gospel. This kind of upheaval marked by fear and division and condemnation is a sign that the spirit of the world is at work amongst us. So raise this question. Does this message lead me towards love and peace and trust in God? Or does it leave me anxious, defensive, and disconnected from others? John reminds us that God's perfect love casts out fear. Whenever the Spirit of the Lord is present, there will be freedom. There will be conviction, but also grace. There will be truth, but it is always wrapped in God's love. Friends, as you practice discernment, don't just listen to what is being said. Pay attention to what is happening in your spirit, because the voice of God draws us closer to Him and closer to one another. Ultimately, spiritual discernment is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. John tells us in 1 John 4 verse 13, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Holy Spirit." Discernment does not begin with our ability to analyze situations. It begins with God choosing to dwell in us. At the start of this season, we say that discernment is learning to recognize how God is at work in our everyday lives. It grows as we spend time with Him through prayer and scripture and spiritual practices. Discernment is about living faithfully, listening for God's guidance so that we can follow His direction, so that we can fulfill our calling and take part in His mission. And all of this is only possible by the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's living presence with us, the one who teaches us, reminds us of Jesus' words, guides us in truth, and that anchors our hearts. In the Gospel of John, Jesus calls the Spirit our helper or advocate, promising that the Spirit will live within us and lead us into all truth. The same Spirit becomes the source of our assurance and discernment. This is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. The Holy Spirit confirms that we belong to God. He helps us to recognize what is truly from Him. He keeps us connected to the real Jesus who came in the flesh. For John, the Spirit is never detached from Christ or from community. The Spirit always points us back to Jesus, shapes our character, softens our hearts, and empowers us to live faithfully in this world. This means discernment is not something we have to figure out on our own. It is something the Holy Spirit grows in us as we stay rooted in Christ and open to God's transforming love. So, Living Love family, as you move through this week, I invite you to slow down and to pay attention. Listen for the Spirit. Notice what draws you towards love, humility, and truth. Trust that God is near, guiding you in both your small moments and your big decisions. You are not on this journey alone. The Spirit of God lives in you and He is faithful to lead you. Thank you so much for listening today. If this episode encouraged you, please consider sharing it with a friend, a family member, or someone who may need this message right now. Discernment is something we grow in together, and this is such an important word for our world today. Remember, no matter your story, in Christ you are deeply known, fully loved, and created with divine purpose. Until next time, keep living love.